Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna have a good day here aboard the mothership. We appreciate you being with us on a happy Wednesday. It's always a good day around here, and we thank you for being part of it. You help make it that way. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at Rocket Mortgage Squares. Coming up this morning and this hour here on the DA Show, the DA, we are stunned to a news in 20 minutes and in 40 minutes. Kyrie Irving is back with the Brooklyn Nets, but no real answers about where he was over the last 2 weeks. We'll discuss whether Kyrie owes an explanation to the fans for where he was the last couple of weeks. Also, later on in the show, I'm excited. If you are a mothership loyalist, if you are a DA show loyal member, a D-alien since the aughts, shall we say, then you remember the Kansas City days and the fun we had there. And at 610 Sports in Kansas City, we were the morning show, and the mid-morning show after us, the midday show, was anchored by Tim Grunhard. Tim Grunhard was a longtime member of the offensive line of the Chiefs of the 90s. And Grunny always had a larger-than-life personality. And Grunny was always very good to me and very good to our show. We were a bunch of young bucks in our 20s trying to figure out how to make people laugh and do a sports talk radio show in a big market. And some of it worked, some of it didn't, but Grunny always laughed along with us. And some of it was ridiculous, and Grunny was always a great sport about all of it. So I'm very excited that he decided to join us. We reached out to him, and Grunny was a member of that Chiefs team that played the Bills in the AFC title game in January of 1994. At that point in time, the Bills had been to the Super Bowl in 1990, finally broke through, and of course lost to the Giants in the Scott Norwood game. And then in 91, got back and lost to Washington in a blowout loss. That was where Thurman Thomas forgot his helmet in the tunnel early. Then in 1992, had lost to a young, brash Cowboys team and gotten thrashed. And in 1993, it was the final gasp for those Bills teams. We didn't know it at the time, but they got through the AFC title game again. And in 93, the way that it went down was that the Bills, again, had this incredible team filled with future Hall of Famers that just would never say die. And how about this? Their head coach, Marv Levy, is going to join us on Sunday Morning Football this weekend, which I'm super excited about. Hall of Fame head coach Marv Levy on Sunday Morning Football. Young Connor Green dropping the mic yet again. The booking has been incredible by Connor. So in that season, the Bills were the machine of the AFC, going to their fourth consecutive Super Bowl. The upstart was actually the Chiefs. The Chiefs had turned things around in the late 80s under Marty Schottenheimer. They had really been bad. Marv Levy was their head coach, by the way, at points in the 80s. And they just really, they couldn't get anything, no traction. But Schottenheimer came in 89 and immediately turned things around. And they started going to the playoffs every year, but they couldn't get over the hump. They could get to the wild card round, the divisional round. They couldn't get over the hump, and primarily because they had this rotating door of quarterbacks. So they sign Joe Montana, after Montana's career ends in San Francisco and the Niners hand the baton over to Steve Young, and they believe Joe Montana is the missing piece. They'd also signed Marcus Allen. That these two guys, the old Lions in winter, are going to be their final piece. And Montana in 93 goes on this incredible run, has these awesome moments, these great comebacks. And then in the playoffs, the divisional round, the Chiefs are the underdog, and they got to go to the House of Pain, the Astrodome, of the divisional round against Buddy Ryan's Houston Oilers team. And Montana leads the comeback on the road in Houston, gets the victory, and their trip to Buffalo is the prize in the AFC title game. And unfortunately for Joe Montana, the Chiefs, that's where it ended. But it was an unbelievable run, and Buffalo and Kansas City had this very memorable AFC championship game. So Tim Grunhard was the center that day for Joe Montana on a cold, freezing rain kind of day in Western New York. And now we've got Chiefs and Bills again coming up on Sunday, and Grunny's going to join us coming up here in hour number four, so about 2 hours from now, and I'm super stoked about that. So speaking of the Chiefs, we don't know what's going to happen with Patrick Mahomes yet. It sounds very optimistic out of Kansas City. I think most people in KC believe he's going to play. Andy Reid sounds optimistic as well, although he can't really say it. He did say that the toe is not a problem. Here is why, and this report's really interesting, that Patrick Mahomes may not have suffered a concussion, but is in concussion protocol. Here's why. When Mahomes got up from that hit and was staggered, was light on his feet, had to be helped up and his knees kind of buckled, that was a sign that obviously he's out of it. And the NFL immediately deems you in concussion protocol if you show something physical like that. Even if it's not a concussion. They instituted this rule a couple of years ago and said if you are visibly showing signs of something like that, you're automatically in concussion protocol. That's it. And so that clarifies what happened on Sunday with being out because of concussion protocol, even if he didn't suffer concussion. He is back at practice, but here's concussion protocol. There's five steps, okay? So it's a very kind of slow process. You've got to clear all five steps. Now, he can clear all five this week to get back on the field. He's got to be, number one, symptom-free and passing baseline tests, okay? Number two, he then takes part in dynamic stretching and balance training. So he's probably in two or three right now, steps two or three. That's why he's at practice. Three is increasing that training to mimic sports activities. Number four is participation in non-contact football drills and position-specific drills. So that could be where Mahomes is right now in practice, where he's in concussion protocol, and it means he can't get hit. There's no contact. It's just drills for his position. So maybe it's just simply throwing to stationary wide receivers. Maybe it's just, you know, working out his arm. Maybe it's just going through three-step drops or five-step drops or things like this. And finally, number five is an examination by an independent neurological consultant assigned to the team. Now, this is smart by the NFL. It takes the responsibility out of the team. The team wants Patrick Mahomes to play on Sunday. And of course, you would hope that the team puts his health first and says, hey, if he can't play, we're not going to risk it. And that might happen because he's Patrick freaking Mahomes and you have this jewel for the next 10 years and you're going to be super protective. But for guys that, you know, you need an offensive lineman and you're already down a guy and you need somebody at right guard, you know, you might not be so sensitive about a guy's concussion if you are in charge of it and the guy wants to play and says, I'm fine. He might just be like, yeah, you know, let him play. So this is why the NFL assigns somebody independently to the team. And Andy Reid said, look, it makes it really easy. The doctors tell us whether he can play or not. We don't have a decision there. He said, it's a no-brainer for the coaching staff. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to go forward and make sure you have an answer if he's there or if he's not there. They tell you. It's their decision. I just follow it. So I think out of all the gory stories about the NFL and concussion and what did they know and what didn't they know and guys' careers being shortened and Junior Seau's and Dave Duerson's taking their own lives because of depression and CTE, it's good that the NFL is doing it like this now. Here's protocol. Even if you don't have a concussion, you've got to clear all this other stuff. And we don't have the teams decide anything. This is about independent doctors assigned to it. So, I mean, here's the thing. If this is a nerve injury in his neck, which is one of the reports that came out of Kansas City this week, Carrington Harrison, who's a host on 610 Sports in KC and also a host here on CBS Sports Radio on weekends, said he was told by a source that it's not a concussion, that it's a injury to the nerve in his neck, and that's why he was loose on his feet. If it is that, Mahomes should be able to pass through protocol, I'm guessing relatively easily. And then it's about, you know, a pain threshold. And it's also about, well, can further damage be done to the nerve or to Mahomes permanently if he plays with this? But so that's why my vibe is that they're optimistic. Because if he's got a pinched nerve, then he probably can pass through the concussion protocol. And then it's much more black or white about whether he can play coming up on Sunday. So, Mraz, you said that of all the things, you've got a doctor in your family.
Danielle's family, but yes.
The story of all stories is that somehow you are related, at least through marriage, to a doctor. And the doctor said that this is par for the course. He has seen this before. Yes. It's not surprising that Mahomes could have suffered a pinched nerve there in the neck or an injured nerve, and that would make him look like he's got a concussion,
right,
even if he didn't have a hit to the head.
Right, because again, I don't know medical jargon, something about the firing of the synapses and the nerves that get up there, and as Bogus pointed out, kind of the same thing that would happen in a chokehold in MMA where you don't necessarily have a concussion, but you're all blurry and dazed.
I have no basis besides my instinct and reading a lot about this and listening to some stuff out of Kansas City, because this is the biggest storyline of the weekend. I really believe that if the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, they beat the Bills. If they have Chad Henne, they lose to the Bills. I really think it's that simple in the AFC title game. I think these teams are pretty close, but the Chiefs are a better football team. I think being at home at Arrowhead matters to Kansas City. They do have fans in the building. Not a ton, but they do have fans. I think that Mahomes and the ease with which he handles now pressure pack situations, the play calling from Andy Reid, that the Chiefs just fire on all cylinders when they've got Mahomes back there. And I think it's going to be too much. The Bills have made it this far. They haven't looked great in either one of those games. They haven't played to their full capability, and that's okay. You know, the Bills are here for the first time, and you got to do it first, okay? So you just got to win that wild card round. You got to win the division first. You got to figure out a way to beat the Ravens. But against the Colts, they didn't play great. And against the Ravens, I mean, they won by 2 touchdowns and the defense held down Lamar Jackson. But as I pointed out on Monday, there was half dozen major mental miscues by the Ravens in that game, or physical miscues that could have totally turned the game around. The pick six in the end zone, 2 missed field goals by the normally automatic Justin Tucker. When Lamar Jackson gets injured, it's because there's a snap completely over his head. And when his backup comes in, he misses 2 would-be touchdowns, 1 in a wide-open fly pattern by his wide receiver, and 1 in the end zone because Mark Andrews can't hold on to the football. I mean, that's a completely different game if the Ravens just execute the very simplest of jobs. So I think that the Chiefs are a better team, but I don't think they're so much better that they can win with Chad Henne. You know, Chad Henne had to hold on for dear life in this game with a lead against the Browns, and the Bills are better than the Browns. The Bills are better than the Browns. So I just don't think without Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs can hold on for 60 minutes. I think it's going to be one of those rocking at sea, waves are coming over type of boat rides where you're just hoping the thing doesn't sink before you get to the dock. And I think the Bills are good enough to take advantage of that. So this is the storyline of this week. My gut instinct, though, after reading and hearing and listening to Andy Reid yesterday, I think the Chiefs plan on Mahomes playing. I think they see the path where he'll go through it. You know, Reid was also optimistic's a weird way to put an injury like this, but he didn't seem devastated after the game about the potential of Mahomes not being there. It kind of felt like Andy Reid, you know, he said, like, he's doing really well. That's good news. I think they thought from the moment they got done with Sunday's game, Mahomes was likely to play this upcoming week. And I don't think anything has changed. I have not heard or seen anything that makes it feel like the Chiefs are bracing themselves for Chad Henne for this game. So, frankly, at this point in time, I'd be surprised if Mahomes doesn't play. But obviously, it's a story every single day this week. When we come back, there's news and we are stunned to it. We are the DA Show, and this is CBS Sports Radio.
Elon Musk has 69 of his shorts.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And Sunday on CBS, a spotted Super Bowl 55 is the prize when the Buffalo Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs for the AFC Championship game. We get you set for the game starting at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific with JB and the guys on the NFL Today. The AFC Championship game is Sunday on CBS. During commercial breaks, Cap, the Wizard of Watch DA, enjoys playing Nomad Episodes, my travel series available on YouTube, and he just played the video of me and Mraz traveling to Boise. There's a two-episode Nomad about Boise. One is about the actual football game we went to, Boise State Broncos, meeting up with Chuck Pagano in the parking lot, getting to see that blue turf. One is the travel actually there, and it was an amazing experience that I'll never forget. I mean, we were in Boise, and the Boise City Council named the day that we were there Damon Amendolara Day, that I still have the paper, and it's framed, and I just will forever be incredibly indebted to them for that type of kindness. But the Nomad episode that Kat was just playing was the trip itself, at least the portion of Nomad for Mraz and I, and the video of us eating sushi at Newark Airport. And out of all of the unique and outside-the-box type of risks that I've taken from a culinary standpoint, and my wife, the Bourbon Belle, oftentimes goes, "You're eating that." Now, I will eat things out of the fridge that probably have been there too long because I don't like to see things go to waste. And I will try things on a menu that many people probably would never try because I just feel like challenging my intestinal package. But that day, Mraz, we wondered, is eating sushi at Newark Airport the best idea? And lo and behold, it was very good. Now, we especially had a risk because we were in front of, boy, what an 8-hour flight because we had to change so many different times. So we really took a risk there. But the sushi at Newark, as evidenced by that Nomad episode, very good.
So was it bad? And I know traveling with you as much as I have, which, geez, after this past year, get me to another DA trip in a bad Airbnb in a hurry. I mean, I feel like I've been in the same spot forever. But you take a lot of gambles on food when organizing these trips. And what I remember specifically about the sushi in Newark, you were so enamored with some new app you got about telling you where all the food was in every airport. And that's all you talked about on the cab ride over to Newark Airport. Was like, you watch, I'm going to have all the best food on this trip. And we started off with sushi in Newark. And I was skeptical and it worked. And then in the middle of basically a 35-minute layover in Minneapolis, DA is walking around this enormous airport looking for anything he can on this stupid app to feed us before our second leg to Boise, only to finish off with us eating a slice of pizza we could have gotten better in New York. Yeah. It was really, really, because the DA had to use his fancy schmancy app, we really took some gambles on that trip.
Yeah, I had met this company, a representative from a company, And I had told them what I did, and these Nomad episodes, they're like, oh, we've got the app for you. You'll love this app. If you're flying a lot, it tells you in every airport exactly where every food is, and it's kind of like a GPS, Google map, if you will, for and with Yelp kind of combined into it with every airport. And that's sometimes very helpful because if you're in an airport, you're like, I just want McDonald's, or I just want Chipotle, or I just want whatever is here. It's hard. The GPS doesn't know where to go in the airport, how to get there. And this had like a map inlaid over every airport. So it was helpful. But in the Minneapolis airport, we ran into this terrible problem of everything was closed. And so I'm like, oh, we could eat here. Let's walk all the way over there. Closed. Well, we'll pass these two places on the way there. Closed, closed. And I'm like, oh, this app sucks when you actually land at a airport and it's midnight and none of the things that you want to eat is open because we flew out of Newark into Minneapolis. And then maybe it was 8 o'clock and everything was closed. We had
the
terrible
Colts Patriots was kicking off. Yes, it was terrible pizza. And I'm lugging my carry-on. I don't like walking to begin with. The A's flying a million miles an hour, no pun intended. And my fat ass is just lugging my suitcase. Just give me anything.
You were laboring.
Okay, DA, let's get a slice here.
You were like the offensive lineman running downfield after a 60-yard bomb.
I was out of gas.
Like, come on, we're huddling up. Come on.
And then it's amazing. Now this will come back to me. And it was only prompted by us sitting down. All right, we got Colts Pats on. We're going to watch the second leg of this Thursday Night Football. It was a baseball playoff game. I had my laptop. I got all this going on in front of me. We got a big show the next morning from Boise. And there's DA. Let me pop on the 16th 1985 Bears documentary I've ever seen while I sit there and watch the Colts and Pats. I mean, are we kidding me?
That was during the flight. That was part of the on-demand flight entertainment. Yes. There was another 85 Bears documentary that I was like, well, I've seen the other four, so I need to see this one too. Let's grade this one out. So we ate Newark Airport sushi en route to Boise, and then we ate way better at Boise.
Oh.
Boy, we ate like champs there. They put
Tato
us
land.
In a lot of places. Goldie's was amazing for breakfast, and Steakhouse was amazing, and we just kind of everything was came back from that and said, yeah, I could eat in Idaho every single day for the rest of my life, be very happy. How about that fry company we went to where they had like
Boise
17 different flavors of potato, French fries.
And it wasn't just the French fries, DA. They had the proper pairings of different sauces, an aioli here, a radish ketchup here. They knew what would match the different types of potatoes. And if you take the time to match dipping sauces with quality and style of cut and different things of potatoes. I mean, honestly, you're a scientific miracle. That was an unbelievable place.
Boise Fry Company, right?
Oh, yeah.
And owner was a big listener and said, hey, if you guys are in town and you have some time, you definitely got to stop by and we'll set you up. And so we were talking about the show with him. He was awesome. And it was like some people go to wine pairings and we go to French fry pairings.
Imagine owning a place that was French fries first, burger second, and going, if you have time to stop by, I think we'll make time.
Yeah, I think we'll make
time. I think we'll be there.
You got couples socialized. They're like, okay, well, this Gouda goes with this Cabernet. Think you'll feel the nose of it. And we're like, we'll take the ketchup aioli barbecue combo with the sweet potato fries, but make them curly. We want to see that pairing. That's the pairing we're looking for here.
I smash my face in that.
Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Just remember, guys, if you go back there ever to eat early, give yourself time to burn those calories off. Have your 6 pounds of fries and dips, but have it by 11 a.m. That's the way you get around those things.
True.
Yeah, breakfast French fries, you're fine.
Yeah. No, we can't do breakfast French fries at DA because he still doesn't know the difference between hash browns and home fries. And if we get back to the studio, you guarantee he'll ask me, what's
hang
the difference
on, hang on. Hang on, I know this. Hash browns, home fries are the shredded potatoes.
No, they're not. We've been over this how many years in a row? The shredded ones are the hash browns. The home fries are potato cuts. You never get it. You never understand.
No, I outthink myself. I'm like Mike Glennon Under the Rush.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
This is
it's
easy,
so
though.
Simple. Think of shredded tater tots.
What's the mnemonic device that you use, Bogues, to remember this? I'm not going to lean on Mraz because he just... Everything food is imprinted into his brain. That's the only thing that's imprinted. How do you remember this?
McDonald's sells hash browns, and they're delicious, and they're shredded potatoes into some, you know, oval patty, and then they fry them, and they're amazing. Home fries, everything else is just chopped up potatoes on like a flat top with onions and peppers.
Okay.
That's the difference to me.
This is why I'm getting this mixed up. Now it makes sense, because shredded sounds like fries. I'm thinking that home fries are like shredded potatoes, little strings of potatoes. Mm. But what Bogish is saying, and because those aren't, their home fries are melded into a puck and then fried, that I should remember that hash browns.
Still getting it wrong.
Hash browns are the shredded ones. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
Hash browns are kind of like the tater tot of the breakfast world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Same texture.
Did you ever have anything in your life where it doesn't matter how many times you're told and taught, it does not compute? Like, there is something in my brain that's probably like it's remembering a 1989 Oilers drive, and it's just it's just over top of the hash browns thing. I can think about Lorenzo White catching a pass out of the backfield for Warren Moon. I cannot get the hash brown thing.
DA has drilled a million things in me to remember. You don't read enough books. You don't do this. But when it comes to remembering hash browns and home fries,
can't
he can order
it.
Breakfast 30 million times, and he will have the same question for me every single time. And honestly, the more I think about it over the last 10 months of pandemic, that's the thing I don't miss, is DA asking me the difference when we go to order breakfast.
If anybody has a mnemonic device on this that can really help me, Bogish's is pretty good, but there might even be something easier. You know, it's like, how do we remember all the planets? Isn't there like a sentence about all the planets?
Yeah, onomatopoeia. Like Mavem Schnup. No, onomatopoeia is not that.
No, not at all. Onomatopoeia is when a word is how it sounds, like plop or kaboom.
Yeah, boom.
That's onomatopoeia. What is it, Bogish, to remember the planets?
Like Mavem Schnup, Mercury, Mars, Earth, Venus, Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, Pluto, something like
that's
that.
Easy to remember.
Okay, I'm thinking like Roy G. Biv. How do you remember the colors of the rainbow, or as you know this?
Right.
Yeah, red, orange, yellow, green, Biv, blue, indigo, violet.
Very nice. Yes,
indigo! Exactly. You didn't see it. I got that one.
No, I thought you were going to get stumped.
I thought you were
going to
go with ice cream.
What is it?
So I need a mnemonic device on hash browns versus home fries. Please help me out of this. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS or on the phones. Pete will be happy to take your phone call on this. 855-212-4CBS.
Sure.
855-212-4227. By the way, Pete's getting a really bad reputation about not answering phones. Not that our bosses care or anything, but now he's getting called out on Instagram. Milwaukee Moose actually said yesterday in a happy birthday post, even though Pete can get angry sometimes and not answer the phones, happy birthday to Pete the Body Pilate. I'm like, wow, that's quite the reputation he's built up.
Totally ridiculous.
And I did see my dad yesterday, and he did tell me that DJ Tommy D keeps harassing him, saying Pete must have blocked him because he never answers the phones still.
He doesn't call, the moron.
I just want an alert to my bosses. If I ever hear my bosses complain that we don't take enough phone calls again, I just want to say, can you just talk to Pete? I'm not even going to hear this, okay? Talk to Milwaukee Moose or DJ Tommy D or something like that. I'm not even listening to this anymore, okay? Because it rolls down on me. Well, should you guys take more phone calls? I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? I don't know. They might be calling. They might not. Pete might pick up the phone. He might not. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah. No, and I think, honestly, what I figured out is Pete just doesn't see the phones ringing because it's pitch black in there. That's just the difference.
But you have a call now if you want it.
Oh, we have a call?
Sure.
Okay, who's on hold? This is like mystery package.
He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, were you going to tell me this, or was I just going to have to go on a Pete doesn't answer the phone calls rant before I get one?
No, I'm going to tell you on the details.
Okay.
You got a full bank of calls. You can't know it, but we got a full bank of calls.
Well, DA, if you would have said something, I would have told you. Why didn't you say you wanted phone calls?
Are you going to take the call?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pete, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Who is it? This is exciting.
This is Lance, New Mexico.
With Coach Bob Davey, and then Holly Holm, I'm the only one that predicted it in town, kicked Ronda Rousey's face in. And nobody else said, they're just so weak here. And I was the one that said, she's going to beat her. But every morning you make me laugh, and I thought I'd try to return the favor. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Good job screening, Pete.
Okay. And this is why we don't take the calls.
This is all types of perfect. This is exactly why Pete doesn't answer the phones. He's like, you see, DA, you want that? Is that what you want? He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes. This dude just randomly yells about Ronda Rousey, then hangs up the phone. Great AFC championship game.
Let's get DJ Tommy Q on the phone. Hi, Tom. Here first.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're in the radio. Sean, call something up. Stand by.
He said, you want it, you got it. The guy rambles about Ronda Rousey.
Have a good day.
What a good comeback by Pete.
Thanks for listening.
This is like when a wife throws the ring at her husband. Take the ring back. Here, DA, you want phone calls? Take all the phone calls you want. Here's Trey, New Mexico, who wants to yell about Ronda Rousey.
That could have been more perfect.
What are the odds, by the way, of the segment where 100%. I'm like, yeah, maybe we have phone calls, maybe we don't. Pete's like, we got a phone call. We got somebody on hold. You want him?
And he intro'd him.
He's a disaster. You want the phone call? Yeah, he's a disaster. Yeah, you want to take Trey, New Mexico? He's got nothing good to add. You want him? Okay, you got him.
I'll load up the disasters. Let's go.
Oh,
I've epic fails for a week.
Oh, another 12 DA candidate. Oh.
All right, Bogues does have our headlines here. Bogues, where do we begin?
We begin with free agent center fielder George Springer. Apparently choosing between the Blue Jays and the Mets, he chose Toronto last night. More specifically, he chose 6 years and $150 million.
Get him out.
The reported deal pending a physical for the 31-year-old. Toronto wanted to add Springer to its young core, which was third in the AL in runs without him last season. The Mets offer, by the way, reportedly for $20 to $25 million less. We've already heard
third.
What would that be?
They'll still finish third. Same deal with the Blue Jays every year.
Salty.
It's
Pete's
been a bad
best.
24 hours for Pete. The lazy ass comment. He's got to settle for Jackie Bradley Jr. And now the phone calls.
And then Trey in New Mexico just set him over the edge.
We have already heard new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith dodge a question about Matt Ryan and Julio Jones' futures in Atlanta. Now here's new Lions GM Brad Holmes saying he loves Matthew Stafford, but...
Great player. And what you really appreciate is, I think the talent level is easy to see, but you really appreciate how his intangibles show on film. Just how urgent he plays, how competitive he is, the toughness that he shows, but... It is my job to evaluate the entire
Stafford
roster.
Has 2 years left on his contract. Will have a $33 million cap hit next season, but he is tradable. The Lions, by the way, have yet to formally hire Saints assistant Dan Campbell as their head coach, but Campbell has apparently picked his defensive coordinator already in his fellow former Saints coach, Aaron Glenn. The Rams expected to make Raheem Morris their DC, and Cowboys OC Kellen Moore interviewed for the Eagles head coaching job yesterday. As for the playoffs, the Chiefs are hopeful. Patrick Mahomes practices a bit today. Their QB said to be making progress, but remains in concussion protocol. A slow Tuesday in the NBA, the Nuggets down the Thunder 119-101, and Utah outscored New Orleans 118-102 for a six-game win streak. Blazers center Yusuf Nurkic had surgery yesterday for his broken right wrist. He'll be reevaluated in 6 weeks. That's on top of CJ McCollum missing at least a month with a broken foot. College hoops, Florida took on number 6 Tennessee without three top players and rolled.
Across the timeline into the half court. Locked to the top of the arc with the ball. Now drives the ball down the lane. Goes all the way in and scores the layup, and he got fouled. The Tennessee defense just falling asleep, allowing Noah Locke to drive for a layup. And a foul called, and there's a timeout.
From Learfield IMG College, Noah Locke led the Gators with 14 in the 75-49 rout of the Vols. Third-ranked Villanova sidesteps Seton Hall, 76-74. And number 7, Michigan bounced back from its first loss of the season, an 87-63 win over Maryland. Finally, some hockey. The Devils held off the Rangers 4-3. Detroit topped Columbus 3-2 in OT. And the Jets were 4-3 winners in overtime in Ottawa. And now... we're stunned.
Woo-hoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So, a little political stunner on Inauguration Day. If you don't like your local politician or the person in the White House, at least be happy that they're humans. The mayors of Fairhaven, Vermont... are a goat and a dog.
No, come on.
You should try it.
Lincoln the goat and Murphy the dog were elected as honorary mayors to raise money for projects around town and to get kids involved in politics. And it's apparently worked. They've raised about $30,000 to rehab a local playground. They also helped the town land a $50,000 grant from the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund. But here's the kicker. After raising money to fix the playground, Sweet Murphy can't enjoy it because dogs are not.
Aww. What does an honorary mayor do?
Pose for pictures, raise money for playgrounds. It seems like a short list of things like, on their resume.
What does this goat do as honorary mayor? Does the goat answer any phone calls? Does the goat send any letters? Does the goat show up at city council meetings?
Field surveys?
Yeah, what exactly is the honorary mayor doing besides eating hay? And I guess, yeah, going to a petting zoo or being at a petting zoo and taking a few pictures.
Taking a few ribbon-cutting ceremonies, very big on that. Bite right it,
ribbon shoeing.
Yeah, does it bite through the ribbon when they open up a new car dealership?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It should.
That's great. I mean, Vermont's the best. They legalized weed a long time ago, right? So they're just
clearly
loving life. Yeah. You know what would be awesome,
what we should
man?
Do, man? Let's get a goat in charge.
Yeah, dude. You know who can do a better job running this town, man? My goat. My goat. Dude, that's such a good idea. Why don't we put the goat up in the mayor's race? Dude.
I'd vote for him.
Amazing idea. I would totally vote for him. Dude, absolutely, bro. I know Taylor would vote for him too, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this.
He's a super smart goat. You've seen it.
Let's take some cash.
That's like
the
most
budget.
Well-run town in America, so they might have got some, right?
Yeah. There will be no violence today at that petting zoo. That goat's got things under control. What town is this? Fairhaven, Vermont?
Fairhaven, Vermont.
I'm in. How did the current mayor, by the way, feel about having a goat step
so,
in?
It appears they don't have an actual human mayor. Oh, there's okay. A town manager who I think is like the most in charge human being. So nice. Then there's this. Then there's the honorary mayors.
So it's like Aaron Boone manages the Yankees, but we all know Cashman pulled the strings.
Yes, I consider myself the Aaron Boone of mayors. I don't do much. I'm just mainly a figurehead only. It's the goat that
does
everything.
Do what Lincoln tells me.
Okay, excellent. Now, the best part about this show is also that Pete is now shoving phone calls in my face. Okay, yeah, you want them? All right, well, Brandon in Denver wants to talk about COVID, so you want to talk about that? We don't want to talk about that right now because I got to get to break because I'm going to stay on topic here and stay on schedule. But I am very appreciative that now the floodgates are open on the phone. So if you want to make Pete's day, 855-212-4 CBS.
Call and wish him a happy birthday.
Give us recipes, anything.
Give us recipes.
Load it up.
855-212-4227. Amos tweets me a GIF of an orangutan holding a cell phone. It says, "This is me calling every morning just to hear Pete say, 'DA show, hang on.'"
I get to Amos all the time.
Amos was my only caller on New Year's Day, as a matter of
all right, so we'll continue here on the show when we come back as well. Kyrie Irving is back in Brooklyn, but he really didn't have an explanation. Does he owe the fans more than that? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
Nat is in Montgomery, Alabama this morning on the phones.
I've been a DA alien for years, as have most people. And we listen because the show is so good, it's so organic, it's so different from every other sports show.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate you being with us here aboard the mothership on CBS Sports Radio. You can always check us out on your smart speaker. If you got one of those for the holidays, perhaps as a gift, have one around the house. Just tell it to play CBS Sports Radio. And that's an easy way to have the DA show airing in your home every single morning. So Kyrie Irving came back to the Nets yesterday, held a press conference over Zoom, and just said he needed a pause. Didn't really get into the details of why he was away. Just said he had some family things, and he just needed a pause. And I think that that's remarkably dissatisfying to Nets fans, and certainly many people that were watching this saga unfold. What happens to Kyrie? What's going on with Kyrie? Why is he out? And why doesn't Steve Nash have an answer? And why doesn't Sean Marks have an answer? And what's going on with Kyrie Irving? The way that I feel about it is I don't really think that he owes anything to fans or media. I don't really come at it from that standpoint. I do think he owes an explanation to his teammates. And if he gave his teammates, and specifically his bosses, an explanation that is satisfactory, or they understand, then that's really all that matters. But you can't come back from a middle of the season, "I'm healthy, I can play, but I don't want to play." You can't come back from that and not explain yourself to the people that you're playing with and for. I don't know if it was readily embraced in that locker room. We'll see how it unfolds. I wonder if Kyrie Irving came back because he saw James Harden and Kevin Durant clicking very well and might have had some FOMO. Or might have also realized that, hey, if they can do it without me, I'm not so important around here anymore. I mean, it's interesting how the timing shaped up that when the Nets don't have James Harden, Kyrie is nowhere to be found. The moment that he comes and he's playing really well, suddenly Kyrie shows up and goes, "Yeah, I'm good. I want to play again." Kyrie digs his own hole, okay? And I try to have as much empathy for these players as possible because we don't really know their lives. I've learned that many times over by developing friendships with guys that played. We just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and we shouldn't act like we do. And I'm not naive enough to think that there's not life that goes into these players and their careers and how they play. So there could be a million things that go on. But Kyrie digs a hole for himself by just being so confusing when he does speak, so vague when he does speak, and so unpredictable when he does act, that it feels like nothing's ever that well considered, because it doesn't make much sense. It doesn't make much logical sense, much of what he does or says. And I don't know if that makes him a bad guy. It just makes him a guy that you wouldn't necessarily trust to do what is needed to be done to win games, which is all that really matters when you're a basketball player or a professional athlete, and that's what your job is. When we come back, Deshaun Watson's latest.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.